Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon, a conversation about all the good things in the bluegrass with your host, Mike Warner.
Welcome to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike Warner, co-owner of Warner Builders with my son, Chris, and partners with my wife, Lee, and Warner Realty. We are your local, family-owned and operated real estate and construction company located right here in Lexington, Kentucky. And as always, we've got interesting guests on. Today, we have Nathan Brown and Adam Sloan of Old World Timber. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Yeah. So I got to play golf with you, Adam, on the Saturday.
Yes.
And, I didn't get invited, by the way. This
I know, yeah. Well, you can talk to Ralph about that. But I got to play golf with you, and we were on the range, and I'm shanking balls. I missed twice, just completely missed the ball twice. I'm not proud of that, but
which I didn't see that.
But that's good, thank you. But you said, you know, I haven't played in 20 years, but you stepped up and crushed the ball and hit it great. So tell me, like, how? Did you grow up here in Lexington? Where'd you grow up?
Grew up in Lexington. Yeah, born and raised here. Went to Lexington Christian Academy for high school, and then I went to UK.
How old are you?
I'm 46.
Okay, you're older than my girls. They went to LCA too.
But. Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I graduated in 97. I didn't play golf in high school or anything. You know, I played kind of in my 20s. I played quite a bit, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I hadn't played from probably late 20s till now. You know, I just started because Ralph, he wanted me to, you know, wanted to play. So I was like, well, heck, I'll try it, you know. And, mm-hmm. I was actually surprised. I wasn't expecting anything, really.
Well, I guess it's motor muscle memory or whatever. Because you've got it. You've got game. And to say I haven't played in 20 years and then to go out there and shoot whatever, what'd you shoot, 80?
It was something around there, yes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's.
But I was not. I mean, I'm telling you,
that's just dumb. I can't believe that.
No,
I'm going to need some third party verification.
I think the thing about golf is like the less that you have in your head, the better you play. And I wasn't overthinking it. I was just, you know, went out there and
just
wanted to have fun.
Should be really good at it.
Well, that's a good point. And that didn't really pan out.
That didn't work out for you so much.
But it was I had a blast. It was really fun.
Good, Nathan. Where are you from?
So I've been here since I went to graduate school at UK.
Okay,
but my parents. I grew up born in Arizona, lived until I was 10, lived in California for a year, and then mm-hmm. did a lot of my growing up in Barcelona, Spain. They worked for a mission organization, so yeah. And
wow, that's quite a growing up childhood.
Kind of a mixed mash of experience, but went to Asbury for undergrad, and then went to UK for grad school, and been here doing my thing.
So what was your grad school?
I went to the Patterson School,
mm-hmm.
Diplomacy and Commerce.
Were you going to be in government?
I was thinking about it, and then I realized there was far too many politics. So I was like, I just went the business route and tried to basically switched over to the MBA school. So,
did you get your MBA?
No, the year that I graduated, they actually merged the two programs, and uh-huh. I was like, I'd like to get in on that. And they're like, well, you'd have to go take all your classes over again. I was like, I'm not doing that. So
yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm real proud of you. That's we had Andy Barr on here.
Okay.
So we've had some politicians on, and we love to listen to that. And we had his brother, Peter Barr, on. I'm like, did you ever think about getting in politics? No.
Yeah.
No, never.
One brother's enough.
Yeah. But so Arizona, 10 years. What part of Arizona?
Phoenix.
Yeah. It's hot.
It is very hot. They say it's a dry heat, but it's still 120. So, you know, dry or not, mm-hmm.
I think you know this. I was in the Air Force, and I was never stationed in Phoenix, but would visit out there and fly in. All I can remember is in the summer, people carried like washcloths or a towel or something, literally to open their car doors because their car doors would be so hot.
Yeah, you can fry an egg out there on the. On the
crazy
asphalt for sure.
Yeah, what part of California then?
My dad went to graduate school in Pasadena, in Fuller Theological Seminary. So we were in Pasadena, and I got to actually not too long ago when I was out there visiting a customer for Old World Timber. I stopped at the house we lived at, and I was like, man, it's only gone up 27 times in value.
Yeah,
you know, it's just crazy. I mean, it was like halfway, not the greatest part of town, and now it's just, it's how the world works, I guess, in real estate.
My mother, who is no longer with us, she's in heaven, but she was in the Rose Bowl parade in Pasadena in 1953. She was rode in one of the convertible cars, and waved. My dad was gone to the Air Force. She was working at a bank there, and they just had, you know, I think the bank had a car, and they put you in it. You know, she was young, 22-year-old at the time, and they just put her in there.
That parade's a big deal out there.
Yeah,
I remember
huge
as
deal.
A kid thinking it was larger
huge
than
deal,
life,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. So back to you for a second, Adam. So you went to LCA. Did you play football there?
No,
you
we didn't have,
like you could have.
Well, we didn't have a football team until the year after I graduated.
Okay.
So they didn't start their football program until 98.
Adam's still thinking about going pro, though, right? I mean, he's
another thing. I just tell him I haven't played 20 years.
And, yeah, safely in golf.
Just don't overthink it. That's all you got to do.
Right,
apparently,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
just.
Yeah. yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I played baseball.
Okay.
And tried to play basketball. Well, that sucked. So
I wasn't very good at basketball either.
But, yeah, so, I mean, played some sports. And then, like I said, I actually started at a liberal arts school in Indiana called Taylor University. Mm-hmm. So I went up there for a year and a half and then did a overseas little month-long thing in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So did that for the month and then came back and ended up going back, finishing up at UK. So it's a little too pricey for me.
What'd you get your degree in?
It's in biology, actually.
Biology? Mm-hmm. Were you thinking about being a doctor?
I was in pharmaceutical sales for quite a while and kind of did that. And so, but yeah, now I end up slinging wood. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a natural sequence, right?
It is. You know, I could be a doctor.
Med school or
reclaim.
No, I was going to go to medical school, but I don't know. Just
life gets in the way.
Yeah, it didn't pan out. So,
yeah.
But that's all right.
Are you married?
I am. Yep. I'm married to Jenny. We've been married since 2016. I have a child with my first wife.
Okay.
He just turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Nashville. He plays guitar down
you showed us pictures. Yeah. Did you know that?
Actually.
Yeah. So, Colin, did you know that his son plays in Nashville?
Yeah, where at?
I just honestly, he does a lot of the heavier, like the metal stuff he's into.
Oh, yeah.
So he's more like the underground scene. You know,
they got a good metal scene there.
Yeah,
yeah. It's pretty cool, man. And watch him play.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
well,
pretty
Colin
cool.
and his band play locally, and y'all played in Birmingham. Do you travel? How much do you travel?
In Nashville tomorrow.
You're in Nashville tomorrow.
Nice.
Well, if you need an extra, guy, you know who to call, right?
Yeah, you know.
That's right. Cool. Yeah. No, that's awesome. So, and then. Kids, younger kids, or that's
no, that's the only one.
That's it. Yeah,
that's the only one.
Well, what about you, Nathan? You got children?
Yeah, I have a.
I met your son.
8 year old and a 10 year old. 8 year old daughter and a 10 year old son. So
yeah, you had him out carrying wood one day.
Oh, that
5 years
right.
ago.
Yeah, he was packing wood. That's right.
Yeah,
forgot about that over at your.
Development
the Silks
Club.
Silks Club, yeah.
Yeah, we're down to our last three units out there
say,
now.
That
we're,
thing is something else out there.
We're about sold out. I mean, we've got three left, and but it's, you know, we started in January 2020, and COVID
perfect
hit.
Timing. Right?
Yeah, perfect timing. You know,
teed up perfect, yeah.
Yeah, so by the time you guys got involved, we were on our 13th and 14th and 15th building or townhome. And, you know, we still felt like, but then COVID didn't just slow down labor. I mean, we had some issues. The Hispanic force worked right through COVID for us.
Mm-hmm.
But the mechanicals, that's where we had some problem. Like one guy would test positive and an entire heating and air company would shut down.
Mm.
You know, they'd have to go quarantine for 2 weeks. And then garage doors became a... You're going to think I'm...
Solid gold.
18 months to get a garage door.
Wow.
Because the insulation they used was overseas. And
yeah.
I mean, it was crazy what COVID did. But we're on our last three out there now. And they're drywalled. Cabinets are in. They look great. You know, for anybody listening out there, if you're interested in a maintenance-free lifestyle... the corner of Versailles Road and directly across the street from Calumet Farm, world-famous Calumet Farm. I've got a one-story with a finished basement, 2,300 square feet for $795,000, and a two-story, 3,300 square foot for $995,000. So I put that plug in. Probably need some of y'all's wood in there now I'm thinking
Absolutely.
About it.
Sounds like a bargain.
That sounds like a bargain.
Especially if it had our wood in it. Man.
Yeah.
Probably double the price, actually.
Yeah. So it's, but yeah, we're still out there. And, but I met you and your son out there. And I remember it well. He good-looking young man and must take after his mom. So
that is actually true.
Yeah,
that is actually true.
So your folks were missionaries.
Yeah, they worked for World Gospel Mission, and they're just kind of involved in youth ministry and stuff like that over there. And it's a really interesting way to kind of grow up. You know, my dad actually grew up as a missionary kid, so he spoke mm-hmm. Spanish, but none of the rest of the family spoke Spanish. So, but they threw us in a Spanish school, and that gets solved pretty quickly.
Sure.
Sink or swim. So,
yeah.
It's been a big part of my life and just my worldview, and still have really close friends over there. And, and then just knowing Spanish, I mean, I had no idea, what the world was going to look like when I was learning Spanish, because I was just a kid, whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of a strange thing, because now we have a factory that we work a lot with in Mexico and one in mm-hmm. Vietnam. But the one in Mexico, I'm on the phone with them all the time. And actually, my friends in Spain are like, dude, what? You sound like a Mexican. What's up? And I'm like, well, because I speak with Mexicans all day long. Yeah. So like the accent,
sure.
just by osmosis, you know.
Sure.
And so it's kind of been a unexpected kind of asset in the building industry. And then, you know, some of our employees are native Spanish speakers, so I rap with them a little bit.
Yeah.
Kid with them, make fun of them a little
bit. We employ on any given day, we probably have, 20 to 40 Hispanics on a job site, and I couldn't work without them. I couldn't do my job without them. It just would be completely impossible. Our painters, our carpenters, our drywallers, our concrete, the mechanicals tend to be Ukrainians and Americans, but biggest part of our labor force is Hispanic and. Fantastic guys.
They're a wonderful community, and we work a lot with them and all over the country.
Yeah.
Where Adam's working on these different projects with people, they have, people from all stripes, but it's amazing how, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know, the foreigners kind of are teaching some of the younger generations how to work, whether it's the Ukrainians or the Hispanics or whatever, because we work with a lot of Ukrainians too.
Sure.
Especially since the war started, as you guys know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of refugees over here, and a lot of them are in the trades,
Yeah, they are. So yeah, our plumber, and we've got a lot of Ukrainians in the workforce.
Yeah,
too. So it's been good. So I think I told you this a while back, but not sure. But so I am an ordained minister, and it was not intended to be. I tell people my testimony is I was always a believer, but not a behavior. And my oldest daughter one day grabbed me, and she was a senior at Samford University in mm-hmm. Birmingham, Alabama, small Christian college. And she had met a man, wanted to get married. And she said, we'd like for you to do the ceremony. And I said, well, Danielle, I'd love to, but honey, I'm not a minister or a pastor. And she said, well, we're not in any hurry. Why don't you
go back to seminary.
Go back to figure that out. Yeah, and so actually, I did. I went to Cincinnati Bible College.
Okay,
that was not online at the time. It was what used to be called correspondence, and I did correspondence for 2.5 years at Cincinnati Bible College. Got ordained at Southland Christian, and then she eloped. So I did all that work, and but I still love it. It's been great, and I've had the wonderful pleasure of performing weddings for two of my goddaughters, Laura Atchison and Ann Hart Atchison, and about a dozen other friends' daughters that just call me up and want me to do it. I'm doing one of my friends, Craig Rockefeller's daughter in September. It's been a lot of fun. It really has. But I lost a good friend from high school named Tommy Archer about a month ago. He was a barber here in town forever. He just great barber. But we all stayed pretty close. The football team at Tate's Creek, we won the state championship in 72. And we stayed pretty close, knit group. And he would cut all the hair for the team, still. And one day, one of our friends, Kevin Foster, was getting his hair cut. And he said, Mike's marrying Johnny's daughter. And there was a pause, and Kevin says, What does Johnny think about that? He said, no, I mean, he's performing the wedding for me. He said, oh, okay, well, that's better. Yeah, I didn't, he said Mike's marrying him. But it's been a lot of fun. I've had great experience with it, and it wouldn't trade for anything in the world. But anyway, so back to it. So what brought – you own the company, right?
Yeah.
100% of the company.
Yeah, started it sort of really by accident. So I was in real estate and kind of finance mm-hmm. back about, gosh, I guess about 15 years ago now, mm-hmm. and was involved in subdividing a farm in Jesmond County, mm-hmm. or actually northern off of Tate's Creek. Mm-hmm. And there was a tobacco barn that needed to come down to put in the road to put the cul-de-sac, and somebody said, man, you know that like people like buy this wood or something?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And sure enough, we took the siding off and sold the wood. And I was like, this is kind of weird. You know, this is interesting. And I was building a house at the time and put up, took the oak timbers in the mm-hmm. in the barn and put them up as exposed timbers in my house. And it ended up being one of the few ideas I've had that actually worked out even better than I thought. You know, most of my ideas, you know, don't really work out, whatever. But this ended up working out. And I was like, man, this is kind of crazy. Well, my friends and family were like, oh, will you, like, every time somebody would, like, post a barn or something, they're like, hey, you want this barn? I'm like, no, I'm not even in that business. And mm-hmm. and kind of one thing led to another, and somehow ended up with a bunch of this wood, and I was using it just for little small projects, friends and family, stuff like that, and then I realized I have way too much wood. What am I doing? So I put it on eBay and Craigslist just to sell it mm-hmm. back at the time, and people started contacting me from all over the country and mm-hmm. internationally, and then so we just started wholesaling it, and then somebody said, hey, well, what if you plane it, or what if you take the nails out? Or and I was like, oh, surely that can't be that hard. And I was a moron and very naive at the time to think that getting into manufacturing would be easy. So
well, listen, it's we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come back and pick up right there because I've got a million questions for you. But this is Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. I'm your host, Mike Warner. Chris Warner, my son, if you're building in Lexington or remodeling, give us a call, 859-421-0800. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Warner, your host, Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. We're here with Adam Sloan and Nathan Brown of Old World Timber, but I kind of want to regress just a little bit. Chris, I've jumped in Dead Air Dennis's podcast in there a little bit ago and promoted us. And he just got back. I didn't realize he was in Ireland with you guys. What was it like?
Yeah, Collie's birthday party was last Friday on the 8th. And Dead Air was there at the Horse and the Hound in Jerry Wicklow.
Cool.
That was one of the coolest bars I've ever been to in my life.
Horse and Hound?
That's cool. I haven't heard about it for a long time.
The Horse and Hound.
What city? Where were you all in Ireland?
That was out just outside of Enniscarry.
Okay.
In the Wicklow County. And that's so his parents, Liam and Mags, their number one bar out there is in Newcastle. But this is kind of like, I mean, there are pictures of Collie as a kid on the wall inside the Horse and Hound.
Really? That's cool.
It was a lot of fun. We did a bunch of sing-alongs and everything. We closed it down. It was a good party. And
did you all get to play golf?
Yeah, we played golf pretty much every single day.
Really?
Collie probably played 10 rounds while he was there. Collie's on a flight home right now as we speak.
Okay.
I played 4 rounds of golf and I slept through one. So 4 out of 5 was pretty good. The cheeky pints we were drinking.
What's the food like?
You know, it's not too much different. They have traditional items, obviously. Mm. And, you know, we ate some really awesome street burritos in the middle of the night one night. And it was good. And there's a pizza place there called Bambino, I want to say. Mm-hmm. That's like famous in Dublin. And we stayed right across the street from it. There's like a line across, you know, around the corner all night long for it.
Nice.
But Dead Air Dennis was at the birthday party.
Yeah.
And bumped into him. There's a bunch of people. I mean, I think that Collie had Americans who traveled at that party, close to 40 people.
Wow.
And then he had a bunch of, you know, he has friends from back home too. So there was, it was a good, good deal.
But 40 American friends of his made the trip.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad you went. Glad you had fun.
You should get a rebate from the airlines that you got all his friends to fly on.
No kidding.
There might have been a kickback for this.
What airline? How do you get there? What airline did you fly on?
I flew American Airlines Lexington to Philadelphia to Dublin. Coming home, American Airlines Dublin to Charlotte to Lexington.
Okay.
It was easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
You know, you kind of pass as Irish, actually.
I know.
Yeah.
My friend Jimmy Hamilton was there, and he's a 6-foot redhead, and he was like, I look like I live here.
Yeah.
I mean, you look like a skinny Shane Lowry, actually.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. People think I look like Terrell Hatton, too. He's not Irish, but he's European.
Yeah. Yeah, people think I look like Kevin Costner too.
I knew that Dead Air would be there, but a lot of people were like, "Oh my gosh, Dead Air Dennis is here!" And, you know, it was fun, and he traveled all over the country. I was kind of lame. I stayed at the hotel most of the time, and then went and played golf. Then we went to Dublin. We went out, and we went to this. We went to a place called Dicey's Gardens, which is a nightclub in Dublin. And I rolled up to the door, and they ID'd me, and they're like, "You can't come in." And I was like, "What do you mean? I'm 38 years old." And they go, "Yeah, tonight's student night." and the drinking age there is 18. So I was like, "Oh, so I'm like, you know, like 20 years too old to be here."
Yeah. Kind of like the reverse
but,
carding.
But Colleen and everybody were inside, and I looked at them, and I was like, "Hey, I'm an old man. I get it. Let me go find my friends and I'll come right back." Yeah. And I went in there and found them. And we all left and went next door.
Cool. Nice. Well, I just want to hear, I hadn't really talked to you since you got back. I'm glad you went, glad you had fun, glad that Collie's on his way back. So, Nathan, so you've this barn, you're just subdividing a farm in northern Jessamine County and Tate's Creek, and there's a barn, you tear it down, and it kind of gets you thinking about things. How do you take it from there to where you are today? You hire Adam.
Pretty much. If we can fast forward to that part, yeah, because, I mean, I was actually doing my very late tax return with my CPA, and she was like, "You remember back the first year that you started this and you came to me and you're like, so I got this Schedule C income," and it's, she was like, "What? How'd you?" And I was like, "I don't know, people like Barnwood or whatever," but it was one of those things where it really wasn't intentional, and but it was something that I really enjoyed. It's like there's an artistic piece to it. You know, there's obviously construction and design, and and I guess one of the interesting things that people might not realize is like this wood, such as the stuff we're sitting on top of right here in your amazing studio here, Mike, that it's it will never not come from places like we're in the epicenter of, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, places that were built 100, 150 years ago, these barn structures, a lot of which are obsolete now.
Yeah.
You know, they're living, breathing things. So if you're not putting money into them, they're getting old and they're falling over. And every time there's a big storm here, you know, we get tons of calls, whatever. But so that's where the source comes from. Mm-hmm. And then, but these applications and these designers and builders and, you know, architects that just come up with these amazing creative things, man, they're not really going to call up, you know, the guys that are amazing that work we subcontract that go tear down the barns.
Yeah.
You know, they have a cell phone that sometimes doesn't work. Sometimes they're Amish, you know, and they have one phone in the middle of their community that they answer once a month, right?
Yeah.
Like the architect in LA or, you know, New York City is not going to call and talk to those guys. So there was this huge space of like opportunity, and I guess I saw that and I was like, you know, that'd be pretty cool thing, you know, to do. And it really has kind of evolved because of the amazing team that we have into something that's pretty awesome. And, you know, we get to be a part of a lot of cool projects, you know, locally, like with you guys and then a lot of places in all parts of the country, and actually in different parts of Europe and Japan, and actually we have a big project going on of all places in Beijing, China.
There is.
So it's
when we were doing Lee Greer's entertainment barn in Midway.
Oh yeah.
And by the way, you don't have to worry about your second marriage, because I'm on my third. but
you've got a minister too if it does happen.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, but yeah,
checks all the boxes, right?
Yeah, we can work out a trade on some lumber. But
commodity trading.
Yeah.
Yes.
But my wife Leah, I'm also her third husband, so third time's charm, and we've been together 25 years, and we could add up all four combined marriages prior to that, and it wouldn't total that. So it's been a challenge. We blended two families, and it had its challenges, but I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. But my point in saying all that is, you know this, but I don't know if Adam does. So Leah's second husband was Jim Hicks.
Oh, I know Jim Hicks.
I know you know Jim Hicks. Yeah, everybody knows Jim Hicks. And I love him to death. I mean, we still laugh and talk and on the phone, and I'll call him up. But when I was doing that Greer project, we were sourcing so much reclaimed material that Jim couldn't keep up with it. He gave me your all's name. You know, I used you guys. We did, and it worked out. Everything worked out. But I remember one of the most interesting pieces. There were two things in there that really got me. One was piers from Venice, Italy. Mm-hmm. The piers that the hotels and everything floats on in Venice, Italy. We bought one of those from you, and they made a bar, a live edge bar out of it. And you could almost see the time on these things. That was that was so cool. But so what, it's one thing to put it on a wall like this. What's some of the most interesting uses you all have seen of your materials? That was just one for me that, like Venice, Italy, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'd argue, Dad, that I don't know of another property in this area or a job that we've ever done that has more reclaimed wood in it than that.
Oh, than least, yeah, oh yeah.
There were 5 sheets of drywall in the entire thing. And it was a $2.5 million project. There's 5 sheets of drywall. Everything else was wood. Don't ever go out there and smoke, please. we were buying, you know, tractor trailer loads of lumber at a time because Lee wanted everything on it to be authentic reclaimed. And you know, nothing new. But like this live edge bar from a pier in Venice, Adam, what have you seen come out of your all store that's your favorite?
So, I have so many projects I could tell you about, but one big one that really has was just a fun job was Burleson Farms. I don't know if you know. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he came to us and through his designer, mm-hmm. and he had this old limestone. It was a detached garage. You know, 3-bay garage that he wanted to turn it limestone. I mean, beautiful mm-hmm. structure. He wanted to turn it to his man cave. He's a big hunter, you know, so he is. And
how old was the garage?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm going to say extremely old.
Yeah, okay. Carriage house old.
Yeah. I mean, like right. crazy. Yeah, I mean, yeah, just beautiful. So anyway, so it was just the whole process of just taking our barn lumber, taking, you know, all the things that we do that we just has such life to it, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, some people think it looks just like, you know, something you throw in the trash, but if you give it a little love and get a little care, I mean, it is just so beautiful. And so, you know, I worked with his designer, and I'll tell you, the thing is just wall to wall old world timber. I mean, mm-hmm. the whole thing, you know, just. And of course, you know, they use a lot of copper flares and a lot of just crazy nice things. But that was probably one of my favorite projects of just, you know, just taking our barn lumber that into this beautiful structure that has so much history, mm-hmm. and that just, you know, just turned it into just this amazing. It has, like, you know, he has, you know, bear, you know, yeah. he's got moose heads. He's big time hunter. And actually I can show you after this a video of it, like a walkthrough, but it was just, that was one of my favorite things just right here in town that just was such a fun, you know, fun project to do, you know? Yeah.
So Nathan, what about you? What's one of your favorites?
Man, there's this place called the Signature Club or the Signature the Silks Club over on Brazil. You know, it's your forgot about that one. Other than that one, really, of course.
Nice. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, the Silks Club. But we've done, I guess I probably shouldn't mention his name, but a friend of ours here that did a party barn years ago. Mm-hmm. You probably know him, his big electrical contractor. And,
yeah, sure. I've been in that
barn. Yeah, I was going to say, that was cool. You know, he came over and he was like, here's what I'm thinking. Can you have it ready like in 2 hours? And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You need like 2 tractor trailer loads of wood, bro. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah. Can you have it in 2 hours?
Yeah.
But that was cool what they did with that. And then, you know, we've used that. And I mean, I think one of the beautiful, interesting, really unique things, it's kind of like bourbon, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's like, well, what's the best bourbon? Mm-hmm. And right, the right answer is whatever your palate says.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So with reclaimed wood and construction and building, whatever, I mean, literally anything is possible, mm-hmm. you know, and you can take this floor that we're sitting on, and you can put a different finish on it or a different sand or whatever, and it'll look a thousand times different than this one does.
Yeah.
So it's like you have this palette that can really be anything.
Yeah.
And the designers and the builders and the contractors and the architects and just anybody really that comes up with, and now with social media, of course, people see something, they're like, hey, they bring it in, they're like, can you do this? And we're like, man, we can do anything.
Sure.
So it's fun. It's like being a part of somebody's cool project.
It is.
That is totally unique and there will never be another one like it. Yeah. That's just a cool thing to be a part of.
What's really cool about your all's business too is you've got a showroom. Like people come in and see samples of things that you can do, you know, mantles, tables, whatever the case may be. I think that's unique as well, that I can send a client over and they can go over, just touch and feel things there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like the sounds and smell of your mills too.
Yeah, people like to see where the sausage is being made. You know, it's like, even though that's kind of sometimes not a great thing, because they're like, I want to go into the warehouse, and then they pick a mantle beam that's buried behind three tractor trailer loads of other mantle beams.
I've done that with
Mike Warner, the guy that usually does that.
Yeah, I got to pull one out. Yeah,
but you know, people do like seeing real work happening by real, you know, red blooded American people that are doing stuff that's making a difference. And you know,
I think the thing, Mike, for me is that, you know, when the people who love our stuff, like they are passionate about reclaimed material. Like not everybody's gonna get it, and we get that, you know, not everybody, but the people who really love this look, like they know that there's nowhere else to get it, you know, and especially when you go down towards, you know, we're going into the, you know, the engineered flooring. I mean, that's kind of like everything's going to engineered and you know, having the partnerships we do to make it manufactured
for us. So you're being able to work with engineered floor companies to veneer the engineered floors?
Yes.
Well, that's cool.
And that's there's just really not much of that out there.
Yeah.
You know, that.
But they can't get the reclaimed wood. So we get the wood, mill it, all the things, and send it, and they do it the same way they do all the big brand of, you
That's pretty cool.
So.
Hey, and speaking of social media, you guys are very popular.
Thank you.
I've been telling people we're a big deal for a lot of years, and apparently nobody's believed us. But thank you, sir.
I just reposted.
You're on my show.
if you follow us on Instagram, I just reposted at Old World Timber. 44,900 followers, guys.
I mean, you know,
a lot of my family.
That's
we all have big families and loyal friends. We offer them free flooring if they like.
Your content
our stuff,
is great, and I just reposted a few. So if you follow us, you can see it, and then give them a follow as well.
Oh, cool, that's awesome, Chris. Thanks. Hey, we're going to take one more break here. We'll be back after this. But if you're listening to the show and you're considering reclaimed wood as a feature in your home or your office, because we see it in both, please give these guys a call. Old World Timber. How do they reach you guys?
Just our website. It's easiest thing.
Website's the easiest thing.
Oldworldtimber.com.
Oldworldtimber.com. Give them a call or reach
out. Of course, we're on Instagram, Facebook, all the social media.
Apparently, we have a lot of followers, as we just learned. So
44, I heard.
Yeah, 44 followers,
44, yeah.
Oh, 44,
be the 45th,
44, okay. We'll be back after the break. I'm your host, Mike Warner, 859-421-0800. Give us a call. We'd love to work with you. Our commissions are negotiable, but our service is not. We give you our very best every single time.
Welcome back. Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon.
Hey, we're back. I'm Mike Warner, your host of Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon of the Bluegrass. If you're buying or selling, please call Warner Realty. We'd love to talk with you. If you're building or remodeling, call Chris or I. We can help you make the right decisions, the right course. We're here. We've been talking to Nathan and Adam. And engineered flooring, when you said that, it piqued my interest because we tend to do more and more engineered flooring than we ever have in the past. People used to have a negative impression about it, but then Steinway Piano came out about 15 years ago where they're using a veneer on their pianos because same reason, it holds, the wood holds up better, the tuning's better, the sound's better. It's the same concept with engineered flooring because everyone likes wide plank, and it cups, but you can stabilize it, right?
Right.
With an engineered flooring product. So how's that work?
And that's the beauty of this is that, you know, a lot of people don't have, you know, a true reclaimed, we call it a wear layer. It's the top layer, which in our case is typically 6 millimeter or a quarter inch.
Mm-hmm.
you know, quarter inch wear layer on a half inch plywood backing makes your full three quarter inch flooring.
Right.
And so, a lot of times, you know, these big flooring companies, they try to make a, you know, an SPC or a, you know, a laminate that's, that looks reclaimed, but it's not reclaimed.
Yeah.
Well, we actually use our reclaimed lumber and we get it processed to be, you know, glued onto half inch plywood backing. And that way you can get an 8 inch, a 9 inch.
Yeah.
You know, reclaimed.
You can get a 12 inch.
You can get yeah. I mean, and so you can get that really wide plank that's then glued to the plywood backing that then you can install.
So it's stable.
And it's stable. It's not going to cup. Yeah. It's not going to move. It's great on, you know, down south or out west that's on a, you know, on a slab that you have to, or maybe over a heated floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't put solid on a heated floor.
Right.
You know, so that's the
probably not supposed to say this, but we're doing the Keeneland new thing. And they're doing our engineered reclaimed,
yeah.
They're on a slab. You can't nail solid three-quarter inch hardwood to a slab.
No. In the past, we always put down three-quarter inch plywood, screwed it to the floor, treated plywood, screwed it to the concrete, and then put the flooring on top of that, felt paper, tape.
Which, by the way, three-quarter inch solid hardwood, the wear layer on that is only a quarter inch. Because once you sand past a quarter inch, you're into the tongue and groove.
Yeah.
So our engineered is no different.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what's your a lay way of saying that is they may like the finish, but if the next owner comes, they could sand it and refinish.
They can sand it five or six times. Yeah. It's
and
just
not
like
get to the tongue not and groove.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So that's a big thing. Because when you all are selling yours, are you selling it pre-finished? Or unfinished.
Our engineer can be both. It can be either way.
Both.
But you know, most people, you know, take it, you know, pre-finished because you know
why not?
Yeah, well, it's a lot cheaper because you're saving on the install.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the standard finish. So you can install. That's the same price, but sanding and finishing is more expensive. But if you get it pre-finished, then it's a lot cheaper.
I mean, sand and finish these days, they're charging, depending on where you are in the country, $4 to $6 a square foot.
Yeah, we're getting prices for $5.
Yeah, there you go. So with ours, you just don't have that.
Yeah, you're paying the $2 to install it, and that's it.
Yeah. You
know, or $3 or whatever.
Well, that's awesome. I'm going to come back to that, but I also feel like sometimes there's some commissions that should be involved in things.
Builder commissions?
And no. I just want you to know, so you said you were not in this business in 8, 9, 10, 11. I struggled through those years. I mean, I struggled through those years. And in 2011, I got a call from a local farm broker that there was a barn on a piece of property that needed to be taken down. And I wasn't in the business at all, but I was had let everyone know, you know, anything for a friend for a fee. I need to pay my bills.
And I got a
call.
Yeah,
I got a call and went out and looked at it, and I called our friend Jim Hicks and I said, Jim, and you know, are you coming through here? He said, yeah, I can come. So we went out and looked at it, and he goes, you know, there's money here, Mike. I'm going, where? You know, where? I'm looking at a dilapidated barn, and he says, no, we can do this. And I actually got involved in it with him, physically taking it down, denailing it, stacking it.
Man, real estate must have been really slow at that point.
It was tough. Things were tough in 8, 9, 10, 11, I can tell you. But I predated you, so my point in all this is I feel like I should be part of your business.
You know what?
We're always looking.
They're always
for a money man.
There is always, you know, and you mentioned the barns though. A lot of people call us. I mean, we get probably almost as many leads coming in of people saying, "Hey, my barn either fell down or it's about to fall down. My insurance agent's saying they're not going to insure it if I don't get rid of it." You know, so sometimes we can do it at a minimal cost, but you know, we're fully insured and have all the equipment, all that stuff, so we're not. You know, then people watch some of these shows like Barnwood Builders or whatever, and they're like, I think my barn's worth $40,000. I'm like, it is once you take it down and take all the nails out and dry it and mill it and turn it into flooring. But, but you know, so we do offer that service as well where we can, because that's where the wood comes from. You know, back to my point about we are where the wood comes from.
Where else? You mentioned fencing. Oak fencing.
Yeah, so one of the godfathers of fencing contracting, the dentist, Ron Dennis, he's been doing it over 50 years.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I mean, there's over 25,000 miles of oak paddock fencing in central Kentucky, which is really staggering to think about.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you think about how many paddocks there are, and so there's, you know, people, in fact, a couple of our larger manufacturer customers in different parts of the world, they're like, yeah, but what if you run out of reclaimed oak paddock fencing? I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. As long as there are horses in Kentucky,
yeah,
we will not run out of paddock fencing.
And as long as there's bourbon in Kentucky, there's going to be white oak.
Exactly.
Making the barrels, exactly. Right? Exactly. And we got, yeah, so... I mean, do y'all ever reuse bourbon barrels?
He's getting in some of our R&D.
It's kind of a prototype.
Yeah, so tell him. Well, you know, so the issue with barrels is they're curved, right? Yeah. The staves are curved.
Right.
So you cannot make solid flooring because how are you going to make a... But because we make so much engineered flooring, we do actually have a product that we'll be launching later this year or maybe in January that it's actually... Actually, we need to get some in here in the studio is what we need to do, Adam.
We
could probably donate some and it could, you know, pump us a little bit, you know, whatever.
Long story short, what he's trying to say is that, so you cut the lamella off the barrel, the top and the bottom. So you
the
have
the stave, yeah.
Yeah, so you have the top of the stave and then you have the inside. So
which
then
is
we're
charred.
Charred, yeah. And so you flatten that and put it in, engineer it and put it on plywood.
Yeah.
And it makes a, you know, whatever the width of the stave,
yeah,
about this long.
It's the craziest floor we've ever done, and it's insane. And that's people are losing their minds over it. Yeah.
It's a true bourbon barrel floor.
And you can do it on walls, ceilings, floors, whatever. Again, quarter inch wear layer.
Yeah.
But you just, you know.
Does the curve come out when you cut it that thin? Does the curve come out?
That's what I'm saying. You got to flatten it.
No, you have to walk real weird on it.
Real weird on it. Yeah.
You stub a lot of toes when you're walking across your floor.
But Dad, imagine trying to make a 5-foot putt on one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah. Well, I just, you know, we as contractors, our clients, and honestly, I can't tell the difference between red and white oak. And I've been around my whole life. But I also, it's just one of those things where I've never sat down and tried to figure it out the difference. But all of our clients ask for white oak treads. Mm-hmm. We want white oak treads. You know, I'm like, can you really tell the difference? They say, oh yeah, we can tell you. I'm not sure they can. But white oak has become such a commodity because the bourbon industry exploded that now getting white oak treads, again, it's one of those, we can get it, but it takes a long time. And it costs a whole lot of money because, you know, to be a bourbon, it has to be in a new white oak charred barrel. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting that you guys are able to be able to turn that into a secondary product because it's a sought after commodity. It really is. And I mean, and if you can figure out a way to do treads out of it, which shouldn't be that much different.
No, we've figured out how.
Just a nosing. You'll have to create a thickened edge on the end for nosing, but that's something really hard to get, and everyone acts like it has to be white oak for us. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, the bourbon barrels are white oak because the red oak will leak, so that's why a lot of people don't know that. But the reason they have to be white oak is because the red oak is too porous, so the bourbon barrel, it wouldn't actually hold the liquid in the barrel. But yeah, we got it, and we gotta show you some of it, Mike.
So where are you guys located? If somebody, I know your online presence is perhaps the biggest of all, but if somebody wanted to come talk to you about something, where are you located?
Yeah, so we're at 1195 Versailles Road, pretty much downtown Lexington, Kentucky.
About 2 miles from Calumet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's right next to your development.
It's right next to Mike's development, so if you're there, come and see us.
So go see Old War Timber on your way to go look at the Silks development.
There you go.
But we're a manufacturer, so if you walk in, you're not going to be handed a latte and you're going to get some sawdust on you, but we do have, you know, a showroom. We love having people from, you know, Kentucky and all over the country and internationally. We get a lot of international visitors as well. So,
yeah,
I bet you do.
Yeah. So what else, if you wanted to get across something to our listeners, Adam, you said, and we talked about engineering, what else do we want to get across to them?
I mean, the biggest thing that I think that I love about this is that you take an old barn that looks like it's garbage. Mm-hmm. You know, the storm blew it over. You know, it's just, it looks like a pile of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think
you give it new life.
You give it new life. And I think that's like the story for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. we're all very you know, we've all probably been through a lot, gone through a lot. We've had a lot of bumps and a lot of bruises.
Every scar has a story.
But yeah, exactly. That's right. But you know, it's like, you know, you kind of give somebody a second chance, and you know, that's what it's all about for us. You know, and so, you know, like we do those barns, a lot of our employees, you know, have gone through troubled past. Mm-hmm. You know, that we try to give a you know, help to, and mm-hmm. and that's what it's all about for us. I mean, it's not about, you know, we're not gonna be crazy rich doing this, but
you're not.
But if Mike Warner starts buying more of our product, might be doing a little better.
That might help. I just need one more big lead.
just one more big one. Yeah. Maybe from this podcast right here. You know,
hey, but could be.
You never know. But yeah, that's the whole thing. Second chances is our story, man. In a lot of
reclaim,
ways.
Redeem, and repurpose. Like Adam's saying, we're doing that with the products that we make, and hopefully in our own lives as we're doing it. And because life's too short not to be about second chances, not to be about redemption, not to be about, you know,
absolutely,
because you know, you're a person of faith and so are we, but it's like, man, God gave all of us second, third, to millionth chances, and you know, it's just all about doing it together as a team.
You know, the something we've not talked about, reclaim, repurpose, what was it?
Reclaim, redeem, repurpose,
redeem, repurpose. So, you know, trees are a commodity, and by reclaiming, reusing, we're cutting less trees, and we need trees, right? Yep. I mean, you know, we need trees. So there's an aspect of that that is nice too, that you're not a United Lumber that's just chopping trees every day. We don't
chop any trees.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And honestly, the type of wood that we have came from trees that, to a large extent, don't even exist anymore.
Right.
You know, these are massive.
You can't find it
trees
anymore.
I mean, the only place you can find wormy chestnut is from a structure that was built prior to the turn of the century, and so you're going to have to find that in something. That was
I speaking of second chances. The Small Business of the Year award this year was given to Deviate.
Rob Prez, he's a good friend.
He's done great. We, their first location on Broadway, we did the interiors there for them. And
We did a lot of their outdoor furniture, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, we gave that to them and that actually came from it was tropical hardwood from the Coney Island boardwalk that was destroyed from New York City during Hurricane Sandy.
Wow.
Because he was like, man, I need something that's not going to rot. I'm like, that doesn't exist if it's wood rot. And I was like, actually, hold on a minute. It was pretty cool. We got to be a part of part of that project. Yeah,
I'm real proud of Rob for that. I mean, I think it's what he's done and the second chances he's giving to the community.
He's unbelievable. Man, he's a leader and an amazing guy. And you know, they've been able to combine business with Second Chance. I mean, they're not a nonprofit. They are a business that, you know, they sell food and they are just.
What's that?
Yeah,
that's what I just said. Small Business of the Year award was given to them, and couldn't be more proud. I mean, like I say, they've just really shown how, you know, these people who have been families and lives been decimated by drug and alcohol abuse can get a second chance, can get a job, can contribute to the community, and to be a great guy. I love going there. I mean, they've got a great.
Because it's awesome food.
Burger.
You don't go there because
egg.
It's like, oh, they have a great story. No, you're like, the food's awesome. That's why we're going here. And then when you hear about the story, you're like, oh my gosh, this is 100% what I want to support.
Well, I think the beauty of that, though, is that people need to know that there is help out there.
Sure.
You know, a lot of times life feels like there's nobody like that's on my side.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you truly, you know, if you reach out for it, if you want to change, that's the biggest part, too. If you have to want to change. But there are people, including us at Old World Timber, that want to help, you know, but that's like if you can't help your neighbor, then what are we here for? You know,
life's way too short, man.
In construction, we take risk on people all the time.
All the time.
You know, more often than not, a couple years go by and they'll sit down with us and say, "Thank you,
because
I was lost and now I have a purpose and I have a job." And in construction, if you're good at what you do, you can make a high wage.
Yeah.
Generally
one of the best employees, all around tradesman we ever had was a guy named Clint Hopkins. He's gone to heaven since. He had an aneurysm on a job site and died. But he was, you know, he was living in his car at Keeneland, taking a bath at Keeneland, you know, in the stalls, and he was applied for one of those day labor services. We hired him for a day. Kept him for like 10 years. You know, he was an incredible guy. Fabulous guy.
I don't
know
if we have enough time for this, Colin, do we?
How much time we got?
About 3.5 to 4.
Well, Nate, why don't you tell him about the story of Gio. I mean, that one of our employees, Gio, you tell the story.
Yeah, so Gio, so we, for about 2.5, almost 3 years, actually had a manufacturing plant. The state approached me like in about 2016 about doing a partnership with them to have an actual sort of a vocational training inside of their correctional facilities. Mm-hmm. So we actually had a manufacturing plant inside of Eastern Correctional Complex in Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah.
And so but they had a cabinet shop. And so we were working with, anyways, it was a huge undertaking and man, we gave it all. And if we could have just worked with the inmates, it would have been a dream, but we had to work with the guards and that was like another whole thing. But anyways, but Gio, George Owens is his name. He was in their cabinet shop and he had a life sentence and, man, just an amazingly gifted carpenter.
He'd been down, what, 30?
He'd been down 33 years. So he had been in prison for 30, since he was 17. Mm. And anyway, so he came up, and a lot of you guys have seen Shawshank Redemption when Morgan Freeman comes up for his parole. You know, he says, listen, Sonny, you do this every 5 years. Just stop wasting my time and stamp your piece of paper. Well, that happened to Gio. Well, the director of the program there, he said, hey, man, if you write a... would you write a letter to the parole board saying you would give Gio a job if he got out? He's like, they're not going to let him out. But if they did, or I mean, you know, it'll just be an encouragement. Yeah. I said, well, yeah, of course, man, because he's amazing. And I would hire him tomorrow if I could.
Right.
Man, 3 months later, I get a call and they're like, he's like, Nathan, you're not going to believe it, man. They're letting Gio out. And I was like, what? And he was like, anyway, so I was like, oh my gosh. So Gio, he calls me and I was like, man, you know, we're so excited to have you. And, you know, again, this guy had not ever been on the outside for his whole life. And I said, man, you can start on a Monday and whatever. And so they let him out on a Thursday. Well, Friday morning, he's at the shop. And I was like, Gio, I was going to give you some time. And he was like, where was I supposed to go, man? I don't know anybody. I don't have any. Yeah. I was like, okay, you can start today. Anyways, but I did not ever hear the story that he told up until about 6 months later. And he said, you know, I went up in front of the parole board and they said, look, you've been great behavior. You've learned to trade all these things, and man, if you who's this Old World Timber or whatever, and he's like, well, they're this company and whatever, and he said they said they're gonna hire you. You think you'll do all right? Uh-huh. And he said, yeah. I mean, he was like 1,000% sure they're just not gonna let him out,
right?
And they said, well, we've decided that we're gonna let you out if they're gonna give you a chance, and they have a community that can help you. He passed out on the floor.
Wow.
And then they had to help him up. And he said, the 33 years I did up until that point did not compare to the 2 months after they told me I was getting out until I actually got out. He was like, that seemed like about 100 years.
I'm sure.
And he showed up, and he's one of our best employees.
Like 7 years ago?
He's been almost 8 years, Gio's been here. And so.
Well, listen, great story, and I've got some I want to tell too, but we're running out of time. What I want to tell our listeners right now is Warner Builders and Old World Timber work closely together to bring dreams come true, whatever that may be. But if you're building, remodeling, we can make that dream come true. If you are looking to buy or sell, we can make that dream come true. But more importantly, you know, this story of Gio, Old World Timber made his dream come true. And sometimes it just takes getting a hand up, not a hand out. And, you know, obviously you guys believe in that. We do too. So if you're listening to the show today and we can encourage you to talk to Old World Timber, Adam and Nathan, please do. They said the best way is through their website, or you can call me at 859-421-0800. I'll put you in touch with them. Chris, what you got?
Old World Timber at Instagram.
Instagram, okay. But, it's this kind of thing where we could just talk forever, but unfortunately, We just have an hour, and our hour's up. Warner Realty, our commissions are negotiable, but our service is not. Warner Builders, Chris and I would love to talk to you if you're interested in building, and we'll partner with Old World Timber, Adam and Nathan, on that. And Colin, I could talk forever, but I got to get back to work, brother. I mean, this is it. I got to get back to work.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Now
Mike,
we do a howl.
Us, man.
Now we do a howl. 96.1 The Hound. Howl. All right.
Listen to Brokers, Builders, and Bourbon presented by The Hound, 96.1 FM. Saturday mornings from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Followed by the Horse Racing Radio Network from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.